First of all, I want to say, is it working?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for inviting me here. It's a great pleasure and privilege to come and speak to your group today. And like Deb said, I will be talking a little bit about the Hmong culture, Hmong traditional culture, which is shamanism. And like in other religion denomination, you have to recruit and getting members. But in the Hmong culture, shamanism, you have clans. And in each of these clans, Hmong, we have 18 clans. So you have the Vang, the Yang, and the Shang, whatever that may be. But within the clans, there are also division too in the clans, that you either born into the religion or you're not. Okay. So my cousin and I are close relatives. We probably have the same practice. But then somebody, even with the same last name, because our relationship and our close tie is not as close as my relative, my cousin, my first cousin or second cousin. So we, so the religion is a little bit different here, practice. But still shamanism, but different practices. And in the, depending on what practice it may be, in some religion we have to sacrifice animal. Doesn't matter how it's practices. But shamanism, the shaman is more like a spiritual negotiator, healer, a warrior. And sometime when one person is really sick, then you request a shaman to do his ritual, which means he had to go into this trend. Because the time here, I would like to show you a picture of what the shaman, how he would dress when he do his ceremonial ritual, but we don't have, because of the time here, but in any way, when he goes to a trend, shaman can be a man or a woman, okay? Not like an elder in the community. Elder mostly it's men, but for shaman, a shaman can be a woman or it could be a man. And when they go to this trend, they're going to negotiate. If, for example, someone is really ill and for a couple of days or for weeks, then you will require the service of this shaman to come and to do this traditional ritual, which is going to this trend and going to battle the evil spirit or even to negotiate. And when the negotiate is done, he will come back out of the trend and would report to the family and say, okay, this is what the cost is. Now, it required you had to do this, like, for example, in the Hmong belief is that there is no such thing as heaven, okay, but there is Hades, where a place that you go and you cannot harvest or you cannot grow crops, you cannot raise animals. So it's depending on the living relatives or living loved ones to send them food, okay, send them money, okay, and I'll talk about it in a minute here. But at any rate, the shaman will negotiate with the evil spirit and say, we'll come back and report to the family. Okay, this is the problem. Your great-grandmother or your grandmother or whoever the deceased one, they're very starving and they want you to get them food or send them money, okay? And typically that's what happened. If it's money, then they have to go to the grave, and they would have paper money or sometimes cut out paper money, and they would burn that. So once that burn, they receive in the underworld, or Hades, they would receive this cash, and they can use it to help them over there. Or if it's food, then the family have to bring food to the grave, and they have to call out the spirit to come and receive, okay, whoever that may be. So in Hmong cemetery sometimes, if there's Hmong and in some cemetery that close to your relatives, you know, friends, you see they put like eggs, they put food, they put whatever scent that may be on the grave to so that the dead one could come and receive those. Okay, so that's what the shaman would do. He kind of interpret, and sometimes he would take care of the issue and he would say, okay, this is the situation, the problem, and I took care of the issue. Okay, so you don't need to worry about it. Tomorrow or whatever day, she'll feel better. Okay. What the shaman would say, I had negotiated, and this is a very strong evil spirit and demand that you sacrifice a cow. Okay. So, and then this is the date I put on, that in next 2 weeks or a couple of days, you have to get this done. So once that's done, your individual person will heal. Okay. And most of the time, it happens. That's why people believe in the culture. Okay. For some reason, it works. So that's what shaman is it's about. It's changing, though, because when we arrive here, first generation who arrive here, because of language and because of issue and because of limitation practices like sacrificing animal and certain animals, it's not because you have rules and regulation here, it's not like back home. So you have to limit that. So, and also the second and third generation who grew up here, because they tend to be more Americanized and more of the culture and the system here. So things are losing. And so many have converted to Christianity too. So the traditional Hmong religion is kind of going that route. So, but in terms of that, the spirit is very important in the Hmong culture. For example, we have a young man who has been diagnosed with bone cancer. In the Western medicine, it is a serious illness that needs to be taken care of. But the folks, because of the commitment to their religion and the way how they were brought up, was convinced that it was his spirit that is causing the issue. The faith is that, the belief is that once the spirit is frightened and it's moving out of the body, the person will die. And that's what this belief is. This is what the family believed. That was not so much of medical reasons, but it's so much of his spirit was disturbed and starting to leave the body. And because of the physician say, well, your son, and one thing is that when someone's ill and it's in the family, we never direct the illnesses or the illness to the individual. We always address it to family members. And family members will take care of that. But in the medical sense, they want to address to the person directly so that that person can live up to the fullest until that certain day. Okay. But in a case like this, the physician mentioned to the child, and it was very upsetting for the parents because that should not be done. Now the parent going to say, hey, you just took the boy's spirit away. I mean, there's no matter what you do. Okay. So eventually, the boy passed away because the cancer was just moving too quickly. And the doctor did allow him to come back home and to do his cultural practices or ceremony or ritual on him. But because the way how the cancer go about, there's no way that they can help this young man. So he would have been 22, 23 now. Okay. But it was just too bad. But that's the monk's belief, that the spirit is a very strong component of the human body. So the other thing is that, you know, like in this, because of my time here, just give you an example, like even in the funeral home, okay, it's really difficult for monk to practice their religion, traditional religion, in a funeral home, because funeral home is designed, it's very unique, and you go there and you're not supposed to make a lot of mess. But what Hmong is that you invite everybody in town, and you come in and you don't have a specific time, okay? You're 24 hours, if it's an elderly person, the ceremony must be 24 hours and it has to be like 5 days. I mean, you can't have that here, okay? And then the other part is that what unique about this is that they have, when someone die, they have this person as the guardian or the person who guide the dead to the underworld or to Hades. Okay, and what happened was sometimes you can see in physical that the dead are very sad. Okay, and in a Christian practices, we look at it different. Well, the person didn't want to go because she's or he's afraid to go. So it's sad. So the director or the person who guided the dad tried to convince that, hey, your grandmother, your great-grandparents are there, and they're waiting for you. Okay, it's okay. They will love you. They'll find ways to help you, and things will go on. And sometime when it works, then you can see, starting to see the person smile, even in he or she's dead. Okay. And what happened is that once the person gets there, the person who guides the dead, he will mention to the dead person that if you go and you found a really handsome or very good person, nice dressing, that's not your grandparents. Your great-grandparents is someone that are look very scary. That's who it is. Okay, so you jump on and you hug them, and that's your great-grandparents. Okay, and sometimes that's why. And he, the person who guide or direct the dead, he is very scared too. So when that happened, when he reached and he said, okay, this is where I'm going to leave you. You can just go on, continue the route, and go yourself. Now he had to come back to his trend. I mean, he had to wake up, okay, from his trend. So once that happened, the monk, they had like individuals around him. And what happened is he would say to the evil spirit there, say that he would lie to them. He said, well, the person who directed this, the dead person here, had gone many days ago, or had left yesterday, so that the spirit wouldn't catch him. If he gets caught, he will die, and it actually happened. So what happened is, after they had to hear, the first people that are surrounding him had to pay very close attention to him. So once he's finished, they will have to weep or cry. So what happened was, the crying piece is kind of like cover his footprint, so that the evil spirit can't find him. Okay, so once he come out of the trend, then they can stop. So that's how the monk culture and how the religion works in their the culture. And like I said, you know, when in the cemetery, you always, especially like after the day after the dead, the person die, they will bring them food, money, not necessarily clothes, but particularly food and money. So the money, it's kind of like help them to buy food, and it's kind of hard for some of us to understand, well, if you can't grow any stuff, what is there to buy? I mean, there's nothing to buy. So it's a challenging theory, but and when asked, well, how do you know? Why do you believe if such a difficult place to be in, and that the dead doesn't even want to be, and you know yourself that you don't want to be? But most people say, hey, this is how we brought up. This is the way how things works. So that's why many, even though they know that it's difficult to practice, but they continue practice with the honor, with honor and respect to the family culture, family value, religion and tradition. So they continue doing that. But other than that, it's like I said, it's a challenging, because most of these practices, because of language issue, written language, it's hard for them to write down, and for second or third generation to look at it and practice, because it's missing. So the first, and one thing about the monk too, that in terms of the religion, if you messed up, don't say a thing. Continue doing it. If you say that, oh, I messed up, that the family will be cursed. Not just you, but the whole entire family that are practicing the same religion. They were wiped out. And that's what happened too. It actually happened. Because, and that's why it's so hard to understand why certain things happen in certain ways, okay, in the universe. Okay. And you know, we have Hmong families who practicing these and are being wiped out, and sometimes they converted, or sometimes they did something and change it or slightly. So then once the people start, you know, surviving again or not dying, then that's the religion that they start practicing, a way how they should practice. So it's very delicate, very interesting religion. But at the same time, being Hmong, it's not easy, because then you have to remember and you have to do it the right way, or your family, and if you do it wrong, they always say, don't say a thing, just continue on doing it. But if you start saying, oh, I messed up, then the curse will come about and the evil spirit will come. And the Hmong is that not every spirit is evil. Your house spirit, it's supposed to be good for you. So sometimes you ask your house spirit to guide your house when you leave. Or like a child, you're going shopping, going to the garden, or going hunting. When you come home, you always call. Okay, let's go home. Something like that. So the spirit of the child will come along home with the child. But if you play and you let the child in the garden or at the hunting area and or park, and you don't call them home, the spirit will stay there and the child come home. Then the child will get sick, okay, and eventually die too. Okay, so you have this spiritual caller too, in addition to the shaman, that they come and they perform the, and they fall into this trance and they call the spirit back into the body. And so even like, kind of like, that's why some of the theory is that Hmong may be related to the Native Americans, because they believe that just about everything exists too. That in the forest you have a guardians in the forest. So when you hunt, you always, whatever you kill, you give to the person who guide the forest too. When you eat, you call them to come and eat with you and watch over you when you hunt. Okay, those are belief in the spirits. Okay, and I'm not familiar, but I'm not sure, but I don't know if you guys read When the Spirit Catches You, When the Spirit Catches You, You Fall Down. That's a really, really good book, and if you read it, then you understand some of the pieces that I talk about here. And if you haven't, if you want to know more about the Hmong culture and Hmong religious practice, I highly recommend that you read that book. Or otherwise, Dad knows my email, so you can shoot the email too. That would be just fine. But how do you want me to do here? Leave with questions, or mm-hmm. Okay? Are there any questions? Yes.
When you're talking about the different clans, 18 different clans, mm-hmm. And people are born in Sudan, mm-hmm. is it like a blood relative line, or can you be in one clan but your daughter be born in a different clan?
No. You are born in one clan. One thing about the Hmong culture is that when we marry, all our children will be under my last name. My wife will keep her maiden name, okay? In America, things kind of change in the second and third generation, where the wife will change it to the husband's last name. But traditionally, the wife keep her last name. So if you born, like my family, we have six, my uncle plus my father, we have six, they have six brothers. You born to them, that's your religion. You practice whatever they practice. You cannot say, okay, my wife's this side of family, and then now I'm married to her, I'm going to go practice theirs. That's impossible. It's not going to happen.
Will your wife practice your religion then?
Yes.
Or will she keep with her family?
And I'm glad you brought up that too. She will come and she will practice my religion. Okay, whatever we do, what we practice, she will do that. And one other thing about the Hmong is that once a divorce took place, okay, and she has to go back to her home. Now she's my religion. She's not their religion now, okay? Now if she's sick or she's dying, they won't allow her into their house, okay?
Which house?
Her parents' house, okay? Once the divorce took place, the spouse is moving back to, the wife is moving back to her home, her mother and father's home, okay? Now because of her, now she married to her husband, which is they practice in one set of a practice of religion. She can't go and practice the same thing what she got from this family. And sometimes when there's the wife is sick, or the daughter is sick, which had been married already, they won't let her into their house. She had to go somewhere else. And sometimes even with pregnancy, okay, she can't be in the house. She had to be pregnant outside, and sometimes family, they make a little hut connected to it, the house, but not inside the house, because there's a conflict of practice. And the curse can come upon the family who allow her in, okay, back to her family, her mother and father's house. So she needs to be kept out, okay? That's why it's so critical and so hard to understand. Your own blood and child, and you won't even allow her into your house. But it's the practice. And in cases like in America here, when there's a divorce of, let's say, there's 6 or 8 children in the home, now it's really difficult, okay? And that's why to have your parents practice their ritual and ceremony, it's really difficult. So what happened is they convert to Christianity, okay? And the church will help them or support them in their needs, okay?
Can the individual connect with the spirit world outside of the shaman? And if so, how do they do that?
They can't. They have to go through.
They can or cannot?
Cannot go
they
through.
They cannot.
Yeah, they need the shaman to come and do that, because the shaman is supposed to have this superpower, or this power to connect. It's more like the communicator, or the negotiator, the warrior, the champion of the practice. Okay.
How does one become a shaman?
That's a good question too. Okay. What happened is, if a person continually to be sick, okay, and through medication, through herbs, and all of this cannot help the person, and then they would invite a shaman to come and to see what's going on with this particular person, why he or she been sick for very long. And the shaman would say, okay, now I can contact with the spirit world, and this is what's happening. He or she is needing to become a shaman. So they have different roles or different practices for him or her to become a shaman. Okay. Once that's taken place and they realize and start doing that in the family, then the person heal. Then you know that, okay, he is the chosen one or she is the chosen one. Okay. I saw a hand in the back there. Okay.
The young man who died of bone cancer, did his family then blame the doctor who told him he had the disease?
Yes, in the beginning it was. They blamed the physician for, because they said that, like I mentioned, the spirit is so fragile and so interconnected to the body. And once you frighten the person, once you get scared, the spirit moves out. And that's why monks sometimes, when they step in a pothole or they in a park or whatever, if they don't feel well, they come home and they don't feel well and they're sick. And then they normally think that the spirit is still in the pothole or still at the park. So they have to go, the shaman or the spiritual caller have to go and perform in those areas and to call the spirit back home. So spirit is important.
Where do you go when you die?
If in the tradition, Hmong religion, it's called Hades.
And that's the only place?
That's the only place. There's no such a good place, like an earth here or paradise or however you call it. But it's a place where what we call is where there's no daylight, there is no heat, there is no good land to grow crops, there's no crops. Okay. So it's a place of hunger. So depend on all these family members who are still alive to send them food, to send them money, all of this. And sometimes people get dreams of deceased family members who come in a dream and say, I'm hungry or I'm starving. Then they would do the practices and send them food, okay?
You speak mainly about dealing with illness and sickness and death, and the shaman's role in that. How about when celebrations or happy times, or what is the shaman ever role there?
When there's like for a Hmong, the culture is the only thing we have is the Hmong New Year, and that's the only happy time that we do. And because of the way where we live, and I guess it's a tradition. When we come here, we celebrate Thanksgiving, Christmas, those are just adopted holidays. But the Hmong only celebrate the Hmong New Year, which has happened every year. It's after the harvest where people collect the grains and that, and also to give thanks in the individual homes to thank for bringing good health and bringing them supplies and food to the ancestors for that.
But also weddings or births, are those considered celebratory or?
Those are celebration too, but that's more of not, how do you say, not universal, not for everyone. It's more individual celebration.
And is the shaman involved?
Shaman has
in
no
that
part in that. Shaman is pretty much just the religion part. You have individual family New Year, but those you don't have to do with the shaman. You can, your family can do your own, okay, in most of the families.
So the family has to bring money and food to the cemetery. Do they have to do that indefinitely?
Yes. If, let's say, well, depending on how often they dream about and a family coming, seeing dead family members coming and asking for food and for money. As if they have it regularly, they will do regularly. But if they have once in a while, that's when they do once in a while.
Mm-hmm. What's with that, the handsome, well-dressed one?
They think that might be somebody else, okay? Just for example, if you see somebody who dressed in Hmong and that, then you know it's a Hmong person. But if you dress somebody who will go robe and look sharp, that may not be the family members. So that's how they distinguish that may be a foreigner or somebody else. That is not your family.
Not but the evil spirit.
Right. So,
Tom, is the nearest shaman? Is there a shaman in Winona?
Right now, I'm not sure if we still have some here, but in the past we do. But typically, most shamans are in big cities. You may find some in La Crosse, but here I don't think we have any here at this moment. But maybe in a year past that, I don't know, we probably have one or two.
Yeah, and is there any kind of disagreement or anything between Hmong that are converting to Christianity and Hmong that are practicing traditional?
I'm glad that you asked that question too. There's a huge division even in our own community, trying to get the Hmong together as a united Hmong. It's really difficult because you have two different practices. You have Christianity, and you have the traditional old religion practice. And because of the different faith or different beliefs, it's really hard to bend them together because they say, hey, we believe that there's a heaven and not necessarily there's Hades. There's Hades, but we want our family to go to heaven or go to this beautiful place. So there's always this argument. And that's why I as a person working in the community, you tend to say, hey, when it comes to religion, that's a different thing. But if there's other issue, we have to come together and try to finalize and have discussion of what we needed to do as a community. Okay, and those are the things that working with as a public service or working with families, that's what you try to do. But there is a heart feeling about when we practice, we do, and there's always a meal in the religious practice. So when you're Christian, you always have food. When you're traditional religion, you always have food, and we, there's always argument that hey, your food, your sacrifice to your deity, and we can't handle that because if we do that, we would dishonor our religion, and we just can't. So there's always a disagreement coming in between. That's why it's really hard to keep community together. Religion plays a long role. You know that in history, through mankind, and how that played out, and even with a small community, Hmong community. You still have that disagreement.
Thank you. I'm sure you're going to get more questions during coffee hour.
Okay.